You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Geeked Out on PodcastJuice.net. Joined today with Mr. Hugh Storm. How are you, sir?
Mike, I'm just getting ready to pay those taxes this Monday. I'm hurting, bro. I'm hurting.
Hopefully it isn't too much. I am just over here. The song popped in my head yesterday. I was singing it all day. Some of you older heads remember, but it goes, I ain't gonna play Sun City. Yeah, y'all don't know about that. Anyway, you're listening to Geeked Out, where we talk about movies, comics, and TV shows, and just pop culture in general. So without further ado, let's just get into things. I'm sort of started off a little different. I've been watching these videos online. Have you seen these videos? The one that was popular a couple weeks ago, who was a father. I don't know if he was the father or who he was, but it was some man. He saw these little girls were filming a twerk video. You know what twerking is?
Yeah, I didn't watch the video, but I... you're referring to.
Yeah, so he comes in there and they were in the midst of filming one of these twerk videos. And if you don't know what twerking is, you know, it's basically like stripper dancing. You're making your booty clap, you know, and all that.
I know about that, yeah.
So he comes in and interrupts them and he becomes enraged. And he gets, I think it's the extension cord from the Xbox or something. And hauls off and starts whooping that ass, you know. And there's a lot of screaming and yelling, daddy, you know, whatever. And you know, he's getting in them. Some have likened his posture to some of the scenes in Django. Like he's you know, the arm extended all the way back, you know, and then you know, and so what ends up happening, this video goes viral, and he actually gets arrested, which I predicted was going to happen. It's 2013. But you're a father. I'm a father. What do you, I don't know, you haven't seen a video, but I'm sure, I guess you've heard about it. I mean, what do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know what I can relate to? There was a video that you put on your Facebook page maybe 2-3 years ago now. And it was a video of a dad who, I guess his son had cut up. He was cutting up in school, and the dad had the belt in his hand, and he's talking to his son, talking about, "You want to show out in school again, huh? We talked about this." And then he tells his son, "Let's go in the room," and you can hear him beating the shit out of this kid. And then there's it cuts to the dad. I guess he's videotaping his son doing push-ups in the backyard. And
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about?
And then he shaved his eyebrows off.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Now, I will say this. I understand. Well, my initial reaction was that father was insane. He was psychotic. But after dealing with my son, I'll put it like this. I understand where that came from. I still don't necessarily condone. I mean, I can't imagine hitting my child so much that daddy, stop, daddy, please stop. I can't imagine beating my son till he gets to the point where he's begging like Kunta to stop.
Wow. Well, yeah, I hear what you say.
So I don't know if that, I don't know if this was like that, but we don't even know if these were this guy's kids, right?
I want to assume that they are, and they probably are. I just don't have the full thing in front of me, so I'm just, you know. But, you know, they're screaming a lot. A lot of it. I mean, that's what, when you hear it, that's what tugs at you because, you know, they're on the ground and he's going in. But, you know, as I've watched it a couple of times, he's not really, I personally don't have a problem with what he did. What I have a problem with is filming it and putting it online.
Well, and that was going to be my next point. It's like, if you're gonna do that, keep that on the down, you know, keep that to yourself.
Yeah, I think the humiliation that comes from posting those videos is probably more damaging than whipping them. There was another video, it might have been a year ago, and I think it was an uncle, and his nephew was posting on Facebook like he was a gangbanger and all this sort of stuff. I don't know if you remember that one. And he pulled...
The nephew, right?
Yeah. And they put that online, and, you know, that went viral. But, you know, weeks later or a month later or whatever, that same young man was gunned down. He was killed. And, you know, there's a news report where they're talking to his mother and they're talking to the uncle, you know, about the situation. And, you know, it was kind of like the uncle says something to the point of, you know, I wish I had been more in his life. You know, I was just trying to do the right thing, you know, whatever, whatever. And I was watching this guy named Tommy Sotomayor. He's one of my favorites right now. Look him up on YouTube. And he was going in on this video, and he made a great point. He said, I think the most damaging thing happened was that he whipped him like that, but he wasn't there for the follow-up. It was like, if he would have been there, because the ridicule came, and then what came was the guy got clowned so hard because of the video, he kind of felt like, well, I got to be more gangster. Like, and that man, the uncle, wasn't there to reinforce, you know, you know what he was doing. And so it became more damaging, and then this kid gets killed. So I think these videos, they should never be put online. You don't want to ridicule a kid that harsh, especially in a very impressionable age and where, quote-unquote, bullying and teasing can be relentless. And so imagine the whole world is watching your whooping, right? I think that's where it becomes a problem. I don't have the problem with the whoopings. Let me be clear. I got my share of whoopings. I learned my lesson. And I have whipped my kids, not excessively, but there's been basically one time for each. And the lesson was learned. You're like, you don't never want your daddy to come at you with the belt or the hand. So I'm not going, that ain't going to happen, you know. But I wouldn't film it and put it online and everybody's clowning them out. That's just terrible to me. I think that's abuse.
Let me ask you, because I don't have this experience that you have, but since I have two boys, but did you find it harder to spank your daughter than your son?
No.
Okay.
Because, you know, It's the last sort of thing I would do for either one of them, but it was such a blatant sort of a thing. And me, I'm all about cause and effect, and so I made sure that you understood, like, so this you went ahead and did this? Well, this is what happens when you do that. You know, there's going to be some blowback or pushback, whether it's from a stern conversation, a look. If it's an extreme case, then an extreme sort of a punishment to go along with that. And me, a lot of it is when people are like, oh, a lie, you know, like lying and really trying to get over parents and stuff like that. That's when it, to me, okay, here's what happened when you try to get over on something. So like, my example or lesson would be, if you tried to do this out in the world, you'd go to jail, or, you know what I mean? Like, it would be an extreme sort of a consequence. So this is, for your level of understanding would be an extreme sort of consequence. And there's sort of a physical element into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I know, and I'm confident that that was, you know, we'll never have to do that again. Not for what happened, right? So, and that's going to happen with me, you know, when I had those situations. It wasn't just like, oh, you didn't do what I say, I'm going to whoop your butt. It was, I was doing some obvious wrongness type stuff that was highly disrespectful to my mom, and she wasn't going to have it.
All right.
So, you know, but again, yeah. And in 2013, in this world, you can't show a man whooping a child and just get away with it anyway,
right?
Whether you're justified or not, there's going to be some pushback. You're opening yourself up to get in some trouble. So that's what I said. I would never film something like that and put it out. Why would you film it anyway? So you can watch it over again? Like, what would be the point of that? It makes no sense. But
exactly.
Just a little rant. I ain't been on the mic in a while, so
Yeah, we got to get back to geeking out, Mike.
Yes, sir. So, geeking out. I was geeking out on some ass whoopings. That's why I was talking about it. But anyway, let's see. Movies. There are a ton of movies that have come out. We're kind of just starting to, like, the pre-ramp of, you know, the summer onslaught of movies is starting to happen. There's some new movies this week. 42, the movie about Jackie Robinson, opened yesterday. I see that it's doing pretty good in the box office for Friday. There was another scary movie, 5. Just going to have to miss that one. there's another movie I want to go see, and I may see it this afternoon, is Trance. By Danny Boyle, the director.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to check that out. And as I thought about this director, like, this dude is very prolific. He may be one of the better directors of our time. He may not have the blockbuster movies, you know, of a Spielberg or Lucas, but in terms of his output and his genre hopping, he seems to be all over the place, and his movies seem to be generally very good. He did, I think the one movie that was like my movie of the year a couple years ago was 127 Hours or whatever it was called.
127 Hours, yes, yeah, with Franco, right?
Yeah, yeah, he did that. He did 28 Days. Was it 28 Days? The zombie movie, which
28 Days Later.
Well, that might have been the sequel. Later.
Oh, right, right.
So, like, so 28 Days.
Okay.
What's the he one? Did,
I know him from.
He won the Oscar.
I think he put Ewan McGregor on the map with Train Spotting, didn't he?
He did Train Spotting. What's the other one? It was another very big movie. I really liked it. I think it was like an Indian guy.
Right, Slumdog.
Slumdog Millionaire. Yeah, I mean, like, he did that too. So I mean, this guy is actually, you know, he's got a lot of dope movies.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna definitely check this movie out. And Rosario Dawson is in it. And I heard
they say that I've read that this movie is more confusing. Well, let me put it this way: it's getting mixed reviews. I mean, from the reviews I've read, the reviews are positive, you know, to mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that any of the reviews that I've read have been negative is because they said it gets really convoluted. It's more confusing than Inception. And at the end of the day, it's like as an audience member, you walk out not really sure what the hell happened.
Okay.
So you might have to do some repeat viewings on this one.
That's cool. Anything that's interesting, I'm down. And you're out doing the backtrack. You're right. It was 28 Days Later.
Okay.
Bad. Yep. All right, so yeah, that movie's out. But in terms of movies that we've seen, I'm going to start it off here. The most recent movie that I saw last week, I went and saw Jurassic Park 3D.
Okay.
I saw it in IMAX. And let me say, that is an excellent movie. It dawned on me when I was watching it that movie is 20 years old. And I'll tell you, I had not seen it in a long time, and I've seen it many times in the past. But when it first started, there's a lot of the movie that I just totally don't even remember. So to me, it was playing like a brand new movie, and just the presentation of it, you know, and the sound, it was just excellent. And it was like you were jumping, laughing. You see all these different familiar faces of actors. And just the pace of the movie, it is a freaking, I would say it's a classic movie. Like of the newer sort of, you know, the past 20 years, it's a classic movie by a classic director. You know, Steven Spielberg, obviously, is one of the masters. Great freaking movie. Like, the 3D was good. It wasn't totally necessary, but it did add a little bit to it. But just the fact that it was pristine and, again, the sound was a huge aspect of it, and then IMAX. But even if you took all that stuff away, it's still just a great movie that can play today. Like, I wasn't bored, or it wasn't like, this is some dated sort of a, you know, movie that, you know, where it's all slow or something. No, it stands toe to toe with any sort of a genre movie you'd see today. But it's done by one of the masters of the game. So excellent movie. I would say for kids, if you have kids or younger people who've never seen it, go see this movie. You will be like, yo, this is dope. Like, this is a good freaking movie. So I enjoyed it a lot.
I would say that that scene with the T-Rex attack still, I mean, that scene could play today, no problem. I mean, I remember just last week when before the movie came out, they did a whole article about the guy who who plays the lawyer who gets eaten on the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that just speaks to how classic that scene is. I mean, years later, that's what he's remembered for.
Yeah, you know, I was watching that movie. It's an interesting movie because when it gets to that point, it shifts gears and becomes a horror movie, basically. And it's scary, and you know, it's like it has all of the elements of that, and it's like it turns to a different sort of genre sort of midway, but it works. And I was just like, this is crazy. It's like very scary. And I'm watching it, I'm like, man, children would be frightened by this, because right. I was in there, it was like, and now again, the sound, and it was just amazing. I was like, this is nuts. And I know what's going to happen, but it was still very tense, you know, sure. Watching it. And, man, I got to shout out Goldblum. What is his what's the guy?
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum. He's hilarious. And, like, he was perfect in this movie.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow, where is that guy now? Like, he was the shit, man. Like, and Samuel Jackson, you know, you see him in there. He looks older in that than he does now. It was just so
odd. You're right. You're absolutely right about that. And I just remember... That was one of the first times, as I just off the top of my head, that I was just amazed that they cast him as a scientist. You didn't really see that, an African American being cast as a man of science, you know, in the quote unquote one of the smart roles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was impressed with that as well.
Yeah, and it was just a good movie. I definitely worth going to see. It's a. It's one of the reasons why they have theaters, I'll put it that way. There are certain movies, and that's sort of like my new sort of grading when I look at certain movies. This is a movie that justifies, you know, I paid $15 to go see this at the theater, and it was worth every penny. Some movies, you could watch them at home or whatever, and it doesn't matter. This is one of those movies that's built to be played in a big theater with a whole bunch of people watching it. This is that classic, you know, sort of a movie. So that movie's the truth. Next up, dial back. I think we've both seen this movie, The Call. Or was it The Call?
The Call.
Yeah, Halle Berry. I'll refrain with mine. I had told you to go see this movie, so I'm curious to see what you thought about The Call.
Well, you know, it was better than I thought it was going to be. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't. It's one of those movies where I was expecting one thing and I didn't get that. Most of the movie took place in the trunk of the car in terms of the girl being kidnapped, and I guess it seemed like the bulk of the movie had to do with him transporting this young girl to his hideout, and I guess I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting more of a thriller with Halle Berry kind of being like badass and going after this guy. So I had to kind of shift gears. You know, it wasn't a bad movie. It was a good thriller. The biggest flaw of this movie, I would say, is, and I'm not going to spoil it, but the ending just did seem completely out of nowhere. The way they wrap it up, the way they resolve the character of the serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what Halle Berry does and what the little girl does seems completely like two different characters was shoved into this movie.
I could see your point in that, though, but I did enjoy.
You still like?
I enjoy. To me, this movie was, you know, the marketing and the trailer. It will lead you to believe this is going to be a mediocre. I've seen this before. You know, Halle Berry. Here we go again. But I think this movie is exactly what it is, but better, but done right. Like, this is made to have you, like, so tense and like, don't go in there. You know, and it's a perfect movie for that. I saw it in the theater, and that's all people were doing. And this was white folks in there. No, God, stupid bitch. I was wrong. But I was right there with them. I was, you know, and it's all those sort of, you're not so, why are you doing this sort of, you know, but it was made to do that, and it does it very well. You know, this is that sort of a thriller movie, and I thought it was excellent for that. You know, I was like, wow, I enjoyed this. It wasn't deep or anything. It's not supposed to be. This is a thrill, sort of a caper. What's going to happen next, you know, and the killer dude. So I really enjoyed it. Again, it was one of those movies that my expectations were low. And I was like, wow, you know what? I had a good time at this.
See,
go ahead.
I mean, this is an example of a movie that I think, you know, this is just my opinion. For me, it probably would have played a lot better on TV.
I could see it as a TV series too, yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I read that the script was actually intended to be a pilot for a TV series called The Hive, where they would basically explore 911 calls each week and how they kind of like a CSI type of thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it kind of played to me. It kind of plays like it would have been a very good TV movie of the week or a Lifetime thing or something like that. I don't think it was one of those movies that you need to see on the big screen. But
I would agree. But I think it's a great thriller in terms of being a thriller and keeping you in there. I thought it was good. The fact that, you know, Halle Berry's most of the movie, she's just an operator at the call center and then the dude in the car. But to me, you know, and then there's Morris Chestnut and all that. But I enjoyed it thoroughly. Like, you could watch this at home and get just as much as entertainment out of it. I think what it was is they took sort of that idea that you said, and they got lucky and got a great director, and, you know, just everything sort of came together, and it was done very well. I think the director was Brad Anderson.
That sounds right, yeah.
And I know he's done The Machinist, which was an interesting movie.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good point. A totally different type of movie from what I recall.
Yeah.
But you know what? The other issue I had with the movie was, and I suppose this is just one of the tropes of these movies, a lot of people in the movie just behaved and they did things that were just really stupid.
Well, right. But that's, again, like you said, that's that genre. What was the guy? He's such a recognizable dude. I don't know his name, but he was from The Sopranos.
He played Chrissy on Sopranos.
Yeah, when he comes in the movie, I love it because they know he's very recognizable, and you're like, okay, this dude, he's an actor. Like, I know he's going to be sort of important here because you're not going to throw him away. And his whole character is a place perfectly what you said. Like, what the fuck is he doing? You know, and you're just like, what? Wait. And then he gets taken down. I was like, oh, okay, this movie is on some shit. Like, and it just kept getting crazier and crazier, and I'm just like, I like this. Like, it was just good, man.
Yeah, see, I had an issue with that. I mean, again, not spoiling it, but the way he was acting, didn't you think he was kind of like a cop or like a detective?
I didn't really get that. I agree. They're acting like you wouldn't something like that. You're like, what? But I think that's the point of that sort of a movie. Is they're not going to do what we would do, which makes us yell at the screen. And it's like a horror movie. Like, don't go in there. And it's, and so that's why I think they did that on purpose. You know, and it does it beautifully. You know, it injects that sort of a response from the audience. So,
well, I'll say this. I'm not going to say it was a horrible movie. It wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't great. But I would say three movies that did that kind of, had that same kind of setup, but did it far better, were Speed, Unstoppable, and Breakdown. Particularly Breakdown. If you like The Call, please go rent Breakdown.
I don't remember. What was Breakdown? I don't remember that.
That was a movie. That movie just came out of nowhere. That's one of those movies where I just like shoved the DVD in. Like, okay, I had nothing else to do. That movie blew me away. It's with still probably.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
With Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the woman who plays his wife. She's kind of well known, but excellent movie.
Yeah, I think it's on Netflix. I'm gonna have to watch that again. All right, so there we go. G.I. Joe. Have you saw G.I. Joe?
You know the answer to that, Mike.
All right, well, G.I. Joe, I went and saw that a couple weeks ago. Saw it in IMAX 3D. Now, let me just say this. Did you see the first one?
I did not.
Oh, man.
You know, I'll tell you what. I was considering I might still go see G.I. Joe because it's got Bruce Willis in it. It's nice to see him badass again.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might be disappointed if that's the reason why you go.
Oh, okay.
But I will say this. So the first G.I. Joe, I actually enjoyed it. Again, this is a movie based off of a toy line and then off of a very popular TV cartoon series in the 80s, right? So it's not going, you know, so you should know what you're going to get when you go see G.I. Joe. It's not the real military. You know, it's nothing real about this movie. So the first one I thought was enjoyable. I actually saw it a couple times, actually. So I was all amped to see this one because I see the trailers. And it just looks like a lot of kick-ass action. It looks like it's even more, like, sort of over the top and even more pulled back from reality as the first one may have kind of been a little bit. And I will say that this movie, it's not a perfect movie. It's better than the first one. But in terms of a enjoyable summer popcorn, you know, fantasy action movie, I enjoyed it a lot. I don't like the way the last little action piece at the end, I didn't think it was that good. But I will tell you this, and you see it in the trailer, the part where they're fighting on the mountain with Snake Eyes.
Right.
Insane. That, I will argue, is probably worth going to see this movie just to see that. It is sort of in the middle of the movie. And again, when you see it in 3D and IMAX, brilliant. That, if it was up to me, I would have took that scene and put it at the end. It would have been seen as one of the best movies that came along in a long time if they would have done that, because you'd have walked away with that going, holy fuck, like, that was the shit. It makes no sense what's going on. Like, it's not possible what they were doing, because I don't know what they... It was like Spider-Man. Like, he'd just be shooting the thing and be swinging it. Like, what is he really attached to? How is he doing? They're on mountains. But that shit was so badass, and it was shot to perfection. Like, that was the ultimate action scene, man. Like, it was dope. And it doesn't... I think the problem is that it's in the middle of the movie, and there's nothing after that that comes even close to that. So they sort of shoot their load midway. But wow, everybody in the theater was like, whoa. And you was like, I was cheering. I was like, yeah! You know, and they was going in, man. It was just dope, man. None of it makes any real sort of sense. I mean, it's so over the top. But they're all in the movie for the most part. Cobra Command is in it. He looks dope. Like, he's just straight out of the cartoon, which they didn't do in the first movie. He talks like in the fucking... It was just crazy. He didn't really do much, but just saw him walking slow-mo badass. It was enough. Snake Eyes, he doesn't say a word in this movie. Doesn't say a word in the first one. But any movie that has a badass ninja kung fu master in straight black sort of battle gear, and he got a sword with machine guns, badass. I don't care if it don't make no sense. His movie was a separate movie from the other people in the movie. He hardly interacted with The Rock and all them, but it was dope. I don't care. It was so convoluted, but it was just enjoyable. Again, if you want to see, like, the action figures come to life kicking ass, that's all it was. And for that, I thought it was a great movie. It's not the best movie ever, but it was just fun. And it looked fantastic.
But they didn't have Marlon Wayans in this one, did they? And I think, wasn't Jessica Biel in the first one, too?
I don't remember Jessica Biel, but no, Marlon was not in it. And even the lead character, I forget his name, he's in it at the very beginning for the first part. He gets killed. You can kind of get that from the trailer. And then it just becomes The Rock and two other people. And then, of course, they bring in Bruce Willis, who personally, I don't really see the point of having him in the movie. He didn't really do nothing. But it was just like, whatever. But again, it was just more example to show big-ass guns, people getting shot, crazy action, and, you know, ninjas and kung fu dudes battling it out. You know, the RZA is in this. Freaking hilarious to me. His character. I thought he was... The RZA, to me, played the master from the Ninja Turtles movie.
Okay.
Like, I was like, what is this shit? But it was hysterical to me. But man, yeah. G.I. Joe, for the action scenes, go see it in IMAX. That shit was crazy. All right. Moving right along. The next movie, we're just going through them. Olympus Has Fallen.
Olympus Has Fallen, OHF.
Yes. This is the sort of Die Hard at the White House. There's actually another movie coming out with Will Smith that is the same sort of premise, it looks like, in the trailer. Jamie Foxx, excuse me.
Right.
But Olympus Has Fallen. What's the guy? Is it Gerald something?
Gerard Butler.
Yeah, of course, he was from 300, and then he went to do a lot of these sort of romantic movies that I never saw. And it's directed by my man who did Training Day.
Antoine Fuqua.
So even if you put his name as director, I'm going to go see it regardless because I just like his movies.
Right. Yep.
Olympus Has Fallen. I'll say this. I thought it was an okay movie, but I don't think it went as hardcore as I would want it to. And even though it's a hardcore movie, toward the end, I just wanted it to be. Here's what it is. In terms of the violence and all that, yeah, it was hardcore. There was more head stabbings, knife to head stabs in this movie than I've ever seen. But the beginning part where they do the initial raid on the White House, that shit was dope to me. Like, that's the kind of movie I want to see. I don't know how real it was, but with the plane coming over DC and just gunning people down in the streets. That was crazy. And then them cats just rushing the White House. And I mean, there's a lot of violence going down. That was filthy to me. But I almost kind of wanted to, I wish I was like, you know what I really wish they had this movie be? I wanted it to be the American citizens doing that. Like, that would have been the crazy movie to me.
Oh, my. rather than the Koreans doing it, you want to see American citizens doing that?
I mean, the Korean thing, we don't fear nobody. I just thought it was just funny to me. And you know, this movie comes out at a time where North Korea is all in the news. So there was a lot of chuckles and things in the theater when they would mention them.
Right.
And even like, and I'm going to backtrack just slightly. When G.I. Joe, there's a hilarious scene with North Korea in the movie, and the whole theater busted out laughing. And it wasn't really funny because it was funny in the movie. It's just because of the time that we live in and the way that they showed them. It was hilarious. But to me, if Olympus Had Fallen would have been a cold-ass movie, like I said, if it was Americans, Russian, or some sort of group of Americans, like if it was a skinheads or even some like, radical, super radical Nation of Islam or street gang movement or something, that's what I was like. Now that would have been some shit, because then the justification of it just been a lot more tense. Because this one here, I mean, it's like, yeah, okay, Korean dudes, whatever. Yeah, it's easy to rally behind and we gotta take them down. Of course they gonna fall, but to me it would have been a colder message blowback if it was the people. Like, how do you just murdering the citizens? Anyway, but that said, the action was intense. I just thought that the premise or the motivation of the villains would have been a lot more sinister if it had hit home. Like it was a tea party or, you know what I mean? Like somebody, like fuck, we're going to take the, and if they would have had a black president like Obama, that would have been a cold movie. It would have been a whole, It would have been, you know what I mean? Like, if what if they made it and he was Obama or looked like Obama, that would have been some shit.
That movie would never see the light of day.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's, but it would have been, it would have been dope. It would have been like,
now you might get that with White House down. Oh, isn't
that
White
okay? House? True. House down. Yeah, you might actually, and it played on sort of because it plays on sort of racial things. Obviously, it's a, you know, the Koreans, but what if it was some black folks or it was some white folks mad? Olympus is gonna fall. We not have, you know what I mean? That would have been a raw movie.
That would have been a Spike Lee joint.
They, see, there you go. Spike,
say,
do it.
Falling, I'd say, you. This is one of those movies that I typically. This is not how I typically react to a movie. You know me. You and Big Ken and Big Sexy know me very well. This is one of those movies where I can say it made absolutely no sense.
I agree.
But, and I can't believe I'm saying this, I didn't care. Because there was a point where they was whooping that woman's ass and beating the shit out of her. And
right.
I mean, just shooting people dead in the chest. I was like, this motherfucker got to go take this motherfucker down. Somebody, please. And I was just jump. I was, you know, out of my seat, man. When I don't remember exact scenes, but I know when the Korean dude was fighting Gerard Butler, I was like, dude, no, go with your left, dude. Come on, no, son, come on, with the right, come on.
Right.
I fell into it, so I have to say this is one of those movies that I got to give myself a pass on. It made you got to really suspend your brain to think that any enemy is going to get that close to the White House and take it down. But you know what? Once I got past that, I was like, you know what? I don't care. You know what? I put it like this too. That scene where he's got the two he's got the two Korean dudes tied up in the Oval Office, and he's like, you going to tell me where everyone's located? And your man starts laughing. And he just pulls out his buck knife. Blah!
Yeah.
Was that funny? I can't hear you. Was that funny?
Yeah, it was a vicious movie.
Yeah.
It's a vicious movie. You know, that's that Antique or Anton. That's his style, though. Like, his movies are usually very vicious. I do got some issues because, you know, what's the one with Denzel?
Training Day?
Training Day is a vicious movie. There's a lot of scenes in there that are very, like, tense and vicious. Brooklyn Finest, that scene toward the end is a very vicious scene. This movie was just littered with that. You know what this movie was to me? This was like back in the 80s when you would go rent them videos. It's some action video or movie. It's like, let me watch this. This was that sort of genre, but it was just with a bigger budget, you know.
Right.
Some CGI and even a little more ramped up. But that's what this movie was. This was an action genre movie with Anton doing it, basically. And he had a big cast in here, too. You have Aaron Eckhart, Gerald Butler, Morgan Freeman. You know, Angela Bassett is in here. Ashley Judd.
I mean, Melissa Leo.
Yeah, Melissa. He had a big cast in here. It was a lot of ass whooping.
But you're spot on about that. This is one of those movies that you might go into when we have Blockbuster, just looking for something, mm-hmm. and man, let me just pull this bullshit up. Let me see what this is about.
Exactly. This is one of those Wesley Snipes Blockbuster specials, but it was just done very well. That's what it was like. Oh, this is. What's my man Above the Law, dude? Steven Seagal. He got a gang of movies.
I'm not gonna go that far.
No, I mean, I'm just saying in terms of he's got all these action movies we ain't never seen at the store.
Yeah.
Technically, if it would have been a weaker cast and weaker director, this would have been one of those movies.
Right.
But Olympus, it was enjoyable. You know. All right, man. Any other movies you want to bring up that we've seen?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. There's not much. Well, I mean, I took my son to see The Cruise, which was okay, you know, for an animated feature.
Mm-hmm. I actually kind of want to see that. Is it called Epic? I would see the trailers for it.
Oh, right, right.
It kind of looks somewhat interesting, but all right. So let's move on to some upcoming movies. You know, last time we got all into Man of Steel. You know, this marketing machine, I think, is finally starting to kick in on that movie, and we're starting to see some more stuff about it. I know the Entertainment Weekly, I believe they're on the cover.
Yes.
And there's pictures in there. I think there's a picture of Zod that has came out.
He looks badass.
Yeah.
I was all in for Zod. I loved Terrence Stamp as Zod in Superman 2 back in 1981. But this dude right here, Michael Shannon, he looks like he's about to take some ass and write it. What is that phrase? Kick some ass and take some names.
Yeah. So there's also been some stuff that came out this week, and it may have been coming out of the Entertainment Weekly, but they were commenting that this Superman movie is going to open the door for more superheroes from DC to come forward in this universe. Even saying that in the next few weeks there's going to be some sort of announcement. Maybe it's the Justice League announcement or something, but they're definitely, this is the movie that's going to launch the broader sort of, you know, universe sort of thing. And I even saw the comment of, you know, said they love that Nolan made Batman as a standalone sort of thing to me, which implied that it will not be in this universe. So this sort of is more of a starting point. And in this world, they were saying, you can accept that, you know, this is guy that can fly and other elements can exist in this environment. So I'm very interested to see what they do.
Well, I have a direct quote from Entertainment Weekly, which I recommend everyone pick up. It says, I'm reading this. It says, the world that Nolan's Dark Knight films lived in was very isolated without any knowledge of other superheroes. Man of Steel isn't as closed off. What Zach, the director, and Christopher Nolan, have done with this film is allow you to really introduce other characters into the same world. That's a headbuster for me right there.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. All right. what else is coming? Oh, Iron Man. Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3.
Coming out very soon. I just saw today that the trailer for the new Thor movie is going to be attached to that.
Which would
be very interesting. Anything else to put on Iron Man 3?
Well, what's interesting is that they talk about Iron Man 3 as well. And they say that the Mandarin, I don't know, you know, let me back up for a sec. I was revisiting the podcast we did about the Avengers when we all did our reviews. And one of the major themes was, and you were kind of the cheerleader of this, you were saying that with the Avengers raising the bar, you got to have these characters looking exactly like they do in the comic book. They have to translate directly from the comic book to the screen because they were so successful in doing that with the Avengers. I'm paraphrasing what you said. However, when I read this about Iron Man 3, they're saying that the Mandarin is, I'll quote it again. It says, this guy doesn't fly, he's not from space, and his rings aren't magic. The idea I kept in mind, the director is saying this, the idea I kept in mind was Colonel Kurtz from Apocalypse Now. Now, I'm not that familiar. I did not read Iron Man that as a kid, but isn't the Mandarin, don't his rings give him powers? Aren't they power rings or something like that?
You know, to be honest, I have no form of reference for the Mandarin because I've never seen him in the comics personally. So I don't know how true he is or will be to the actual comic book.
Well, that could be a problem.
Well, again, I think if... I would imagine... I'm a comic book guy and I know nothing of this character. So I'd imagine that most people are not familiar with that character. Particularly the people who go to the movies and don't read the books. So I don't know if it will matter in that case because they don't have no form of reference. Like,
no, you're right. You're right. It won't matter to me. But I'm just thinking about all the fanboys who, you know, as we get closer to you know, all the fanboys might turn on this movie and could give it negative press if the manager is not portrayed the way they are expecting him to be, I would imagine.
That's a possibility. But I think at this point, the movie is almost bigger in terms of people that are going to go see it to care about that particular character not being the true representation from the book. If they were to change the main focus, Iron Man or some sort, I think people would be, yeah. But I don't think at this point. Personally, I'm very curious to see what this movie is about, because just looking at the trailers, the Mandarin, to me, I don't understand what is special about him. He seems like a terrorist or something, but I don't know what his thing is. Like, does he have powers? Or how is he getting these people to do this stuff? So I don't know anything about him. So I'm very curious. That's why for me right now, I have no expectations on him because I don't know anything about him. So it's not going to bother me. It'll bother me if he doesn't seem like he's a threat to Iron Man. You know, the one thing I assume the movie will bring this out, I'm curious to why he has that Captain America shield in the back of his neck.
That's an interesting question. And I still have the question of, you brought up some good points. How is the Mandarin? And this is, I mean, we're not going to go there again, but this is kind of what I was saying about the Avengers, about the Chitauri, how they weren't really a threat, so they weren't that interesting. And you keyed on that here. The Mandarin, I mean, he's being played by Ben Kingsley, who's does not look that threatening as a villain to me. So,
I think there's going to be more going on. And there's, you know, I think there's going to be, I don't think it's going to be anything about what we think it's going to be about, which we don't know much. But the comparison of him being a threat, it may not be about that guy being a physical threat to Iron Man. It may be that, I'm just guessing, it could be the threat that Iron Man, the people around Iron Man could be threatened by him, and Iron Man not being able to save everybody. Or now that, I mean, he's a very interesting character because the world knows who he is.
Right.
And I kind of get, when you hear the trailer, he's like, you know, the whole thing changed after New York, and now there are other people stronger than me, and everyone knows who I'm a hero. Now does that just open him up for everybody to come at him? And they can come at the people around him because they know who he is. And they kind of get, you sort of look at the pictures and you can see that girl is going to be in peril. I even heard spoilers. I even heard that she's going to have the armor on or something like. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, obviously, Rhodey is, you know, War Machine is there, and so I'm curious to see what the real tone of this movie is about. Because he may not necessarily be a physical threat to him, if he doesn't have the armor or something, he could be a threat to him. So I don't, you know, I have no idea.
I tell you what, there's something that's threatening Iron Man, because in the two movie posters I've seen, one of them, he's fallen, his armor's all beat to shit, and he's fallen to earth.
Right.
And with the rocket boots are sputtering out. And then the other poster, he's like, you know, in that crouching position on the ground, blood coming off his head, his arm is beat up. And
yeah.
I'm like, damn, somebody's kicking his ass.
And you see that in the trailer, he's dragging the suit. He's outside of it, dragging it on the ground or something.
So,
like I said, they're very interesting.
There's going to be one badass scene, though, where apparently, I don't know where I got this from or why I'm thinking this, but it looks like there's a scene where he's controlling all of his armor suits remote control or something.
Yeah, and I want to say I've heard that that comes out of some of the stories in the books, where he has almost like a fleet of them or something like that. Apparently, there's a new exhibit at Disneyland. I think it was revealed today or something like that. And it's the hall of all of Tony Stark's armor. You know?
Oh, man.
Like you see in the movie, they actually have it there. I think it's the World of Tomorrow or something like that at Disneyland. So, again, I know they got a lot. I know they do not want to disappoint. So I have high hopes for this movie. Again, it is coming off. In some respects, it's a sequel to The Avengers in some respects. There's probably more people who've seen The Avengers than who even saw the first Iron Man, right? So there's a lot that they got to do, which leads us into Captain America Winter Soldier. has started production. Robert Redford has joined the cast. You know, it's going to have the Falcon in it. Black Widow.
It is going to have. They're going to have the Falcon in.
Yes, Anthony Mackie. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's that. There, Marvel finally released that sort of box set Blu-ray of all of the movies. Yeah. And one of the discs in there is a lot of information on the newer movies coming. There was a lot of concept art from Captain America that was released through that. And you see there's pictures of the Falcon. Like, they're like concept drawings or, you know, from the movie and stuff. So he's definitely going to be doing the flying. There's a picture of Captain America fighting the Winter Soldier. Spoiler, you know, the Winter Soldier is Bucky. And he's in the comics, and he looks like the dude in the comics. He's got the steel arm, and, you know, it just looks crazy. And then there's actually there was a picture that surfaced yesterday in not Warner's, but Disneyland made everybody take it down. But there's a picture of Cap. He's got a new suit, and it's the suit from, if you're familiar with the books, from the Secret Avengers suit that he wears. So that looked dope. So yeah, I'm actually very excited about the Captain America 2, because for me, I enjoyed him the most out of the movie.
You know what? I have to agree with you 100%. I'm looking forward to going to see his movie. My thing is, and I brought this up in that last podcast too, which everyone should go and check that one out again, the one where we review the Avengers. My thing was, I don't know, after, you know, putting aside my criticism of the Avengers movie, putting that aside, you got all these characters that they brought together on the screen, on one screen. It seems like these new movies, these single characters are going to be so small now, after seeing the Avengers. But I'm hyped to see a new Captain America movie. If they portray him the way they did in the Avengers, I suspect his movie will be the best of all of them.
I kind of agree with you, yeah. Are you familiar with the whole Winter Soldier thing? Have you heard of that?
You know what? I'm not. It's funny you brought that up, because for whatever reason, I decided to watch the Avengers animated series, the last episode with Galactus.
Yeah.
And I think they had the Winter Soldier in that.
He is in that. There's actually an episode in that season that, it may be two episodes, that deals strictly with him and who he is and that whole thing. Yeah, I won't spoil it. I already sort of did, but that's a badass character. In the comic books, he actually becomes Captain America when Captain America was killed a few years ago.
Right.
But yeah, when I first heard the title of the movie, I was like, whoa, like, they're going to do that? And when you see the concept art and you hear what the movie's going to be about, that's going to be some shit. And I when I look at that, to me, the threat of the Winter Soldier does not require Iron Man. Any of the other Avengers there really was no reason for them to be involved in that. This is a more very personal sort of a situation for Steve Rogers, and the Winter Soldier is coming for Steve Rogers. So I would not expect him to have to go get anybody to deal with that, because it's a more personal thing for him that speaks to that character, you know, like. Just like in the books, there's, you know, their ties and how they are bound together is very interesting. So yeah, it should be a good movie. Then you got the Falcon, and, you know, Black Widow is supposed to be a bigger character in this. And, you know, they were talking about this movie. I believe that will be the last movie that goes directly into the Avengers 2 as well, in terms of when these are released. And they were saying where allegiances, where's your allegiance lie, you know, in terms of the other heroes or something going forward after this. So it's going to be an interesting movie. All of them will. I even saw the trailer for Thor was shown at some sort of event a couple of days ago, and just looking at the description of it, that looks like it might be a kick-ass movie too. And I wasn't the super Thor fan of that movie,
Yeah, me either. Yeah.
But this one sounds like I think the director is one of the guys from the Game of Thrones or something like that. So it's a totally different view, okay. You know, take on it. More of a real kind of Game of Thrones sort of, you know, take on it, where the other one was, you know, it's sort of different sort of thing. So, yeah.
Cool.
Marvel's doing it. And then they've got Guardians of the Galaxy, which is coming, which I hope that that's good. That movie's so far out there in terms of what it's about. But art from that movie was also released in that Marvel's box set. And I will say, if you just look at the art and what it looks like they're trying to do, they may be trying to do Star Wars. Like, because I was like, whoa, this the ships, and that looks fantastic, like a fantastic science fiction movie. Like, so we'll see.
Well, you know, I'm looking, like I said, I'm looking through the Entertainment Weekly summer movie preview, and this is going to be a head-busting summer, dude. I mean, you're looking at Man of Steel, Star Trek, mm-hmm. and Iron Man 3, Oblivion, and then you got Will Smith's movie After Earth.
Yeah, I think Oblivion comes out next week.
It comes out soon, and
I see reviews already of it.
Are they good or bad?
Not so good. Kind of like you've seen all this before sort of thing.
It's too bad.
I'm gonna see it anyway. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm still. I'm one of the few Tom Cruise fans still out there.
Yeah, I'm really anxious to see World War Z as well. To me, that's
no, I forgot about that one. Yeah. World War Z, yeah.
That looks like it's gonna be kind of good. I'm even going to see Fast and the Furious. Those have evolved into to me just great action movies. Less about the driving cars and just crazy action set pieces. Like the last one, I thought was really good.
I think the last one was geared more towards someone like me who, like, I hadn't seen any of the Fast and the Furious movies. And when I thought I was going to go check one out, I think it was Tokyo Drift. That just got slaughtered by the critics. So I was like, and I don't think even the fans of the series liked that one.
Yeah, I've never even seen that one.
So I was like, let me just leave that alone. And then Fast and the Furious 5 came out, and it seemed like it was more like a fun popcorn action flick. It was okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was. And if you had saw the first one, now I would say the first one and even the second one, particularly the first one, obviously was more about the car culture, you know, the tricked out cars. But it still had the, you know, crime caper element. It was almost like what's the movie that Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze had, the surfboards?
Oh, Point Break?
It was Point Break for cars, basically.
Right, okay.
But it was one of those movies, I think, that spoke to that sort of genre and that culture very well, and it just kind of became like a classic. And then, you know, the second one, even though Vin Diesel wasn't in it, I think they... Is that the second one they brought in Tyrese? Or... No, that was the third.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the second one, but he was... I know he was in the fifth one.
You know, the second one continues it. And even though the one of the leads is gone, it's still a very good movie. And then, yeah, they do the... John Singleton does the one with Tyrese. And that was actually a pretty good movie. But this last one, 5, yeah, they just... We're just going to make an action movie. Like, it is not going to be about racing the cars and all that sort of stuff. You can kind of see it in the background. But you're right. It was just a popcorn action movie, which I think is how they got Vin Diesel to come back to do it, because of that. And, you know, like I said, they just seem like kind of fun, over-the-top sort of movies. Now they got The Rock in it. Well, the last one. So I think it's they're just fun. You know?
But, Mike, it doesn't end with that. I'm leaping through some of these other movies coming out. You got Kick-Ass 2.
Oh, yeah.
You got this movie. It's another sci-fi movie with Matt Damon going balls.
Dude, did you see that trailer yet?
I have not seen it.
That's the movie I'm waiting for. Yeah, that shit is dope.
And then you got Wolverine.
Yes, that's right. Wolverine. Have you seen the trailer for that?
I have. What I find interesting is that they're... to me, this is a very risky move. But I know from reading Wolverine back in the 70s and 80s, they're taking him and putting him in Japan. And I know mm-hmm. he spent a lot of time. I know there's a history of that character being in Japan. And I think he hooked up with he had a Japanese.
He got married.
Okay. Yep. That makes that movie, that brings a whole new dynamic to make that movie interesting. But it seems like that could be a risky thing for mainstream audiences to go, to tie into.
Yeah, well, it's definitely, I think it'll be any more riskier than the last movie, which was terrible. I think they're going to right their wrongs.
I don't understand why they say that.
You liked the last movie?
That was the X-Men Origins, Wolverine?
Yeah, that was terrible.
Okay. I mean, I enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed any of the X-Men movies.
And I thought it was probably just as good. And to me, it was on the level of the third X-Men movie. The Deadpool character, I thought it was dumb. I mean, I watched it a couple of times, but they feel, Hugh Jackman and Marvel and them, they didn't think that movie was right. And so their whole thing is, let's do the real Wolverine, that's somewhat a little more serious, but let's go back and make this guy a better sort of a presentation of this character, and let's right the wrongs of that movie. So I was trying to figure out who was the director of this movie, because he's actually had some good movies.
I can look that up real quick. It's James Mangold.
Okay. Well, what is he?
He did, I believe he did Copland way back in the 90s. Wow. Okay. And he did, as far as I know, more recently, 310 to Yuma with Christian Bale.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, this guy's got some solid movies. He did Walk the Line. He's not a person you would assume to do some sort of comic book movie. So I think they got a good sort of a director to this. Hugh Jackman, I think he just kills that role. Even in a bad movie, he kills being Wolverine. I'm really amped up to see this movie. I think it's going to be one of those sleeper ones that people... It's not like on the super radar, because I don't think people were that hyped off the last one. But I think people are going to be surprised and be like, whoa, this is okay. This is dope. And I think this is a perfect lead-in for this next X-Men movie that comes. And hopefully that can live up to expectations as well. So,
The good thing about Hugh Jackman, or any actor, to be honest, in the role of Wolverine is that that role is theirs for as long as they want it, because the older they get, the more they're probably going to age into the Wolverine character's role, because Wolverine as a character is century, I don't know about centuries, but he's very old, and I always thought Hugh Jackman looked too young for the role to begin with, so that role could be his for as long as he wants it, apparently, possibly.
Yeah, he kills that character. I would, again, we talked about this before, but man, whenever they just feel like they want to go ahead and get all the money, if they just say, look, we're going to make a movie, we got Wolverine in it, so Iron Man's going to be Captain America, Spider-Man, it'd be the ultimate fanboy movie. They could have a scene where all of them at the end just come together and start kicking ass. I'd be all over, man. It'd be all over.
I want to say, for the record, I want to predict the two biggest flops this summer. I want to predict them right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Prediction. Lone Ranger.
Wow.
And Pacific Rim.
I don't agree on the Pacific Rim. Why do you think that'd be a flop?
I'll tell you why. Because I think, this is just my gut here. I tend to think people are going to see it as a knockoff of Transformers, and if it's not Michael Bay, they're not going to want to see it. And I think with the unfortunately, because I think you and I were two of the only people that liked this movie, with the flop of Battleship, people are kind of tired of seeing big robotic creatures.
I can see your point of people's expectations and tying it to Transformers a little bit. But I think if you get past that trailer and what you think it's going to be and what it is, I think it's going to be a good movie, going back to the, Japanese robots and fighting monsters, which is a genre in Japan, obviously the whole Godzilla thing. I think this movie is more about that, whether or not people understand that genre and just think everything is Transformers. But I think it's about monsters, fighting monsters. You know, remember there was that Godzilla movie where they had the robot Godzilla. They had the one robot dude fight him. He kind of looked like a Power Ranger. This movie is that, but done today is slightly a little more serious, but definitely tongue-in-cheek in that genre. But it'd be interesting to see what the audience's perception. I don't think it's on a lot of people's radar, because they don't know what to make of it, possibly. But I am all ready to see that. I think that movie, I don't know if you remember, I posted a picture of Idris Elba, whatever his name, in that costume almost a year ago on my Facebook page as my cover page, because that costume, the suit, was just dope to me. I was like, this, the black man in the sci-fi kick-ass suit, yeah, let's go. So now this movie is finally coming out. So.
And I'm going to go see it because of Idris Elba. I will probably see it just to see him. Because he's the lead. I think he's in the lead.
Well, the lead is actually, I don't know the guy's name, but I know the actor very well. He's the lead in Sons of Anarchy. He's the actual lead.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
And I like that dude. I think he's good. So. And it's Guillermo del Toro. So when he does action movies, I'm all in. I was a fan of one of my favorite movies, Blade 2. I like Hellboy. He just goes very deep into the crazy looking creatures and all that sort of stuff. So the Lone Ranger, I have no desire whatsoever to see that movie.
None.
I don't even know why they're making it. Who is that movie for? I don't know. I don't even get it.
That's a very good point. Johnny Depp as Tonto. I just don't buy it. You can't at least get a real Native American in that role. Come on.
To me, the character, I don't care about the Lone. I know who he is.
Yeah.
And I was, okay, yeah, I have reference to that, but isn't that something I would want to see? And I would imagine the younger people, they don't know who the hell the Lone Ranger is. And why is he cool? Like, I don't, he's a Western dude with a mask, and he's got the Native American sidekick. I mean, to today's audience, is that something that sounds interesting? I don't.
The only way I could see them selling this is if they make him like an Indiana Jones type of character. And they're not doing that with the trailers I've seen. The trailers I've seen look like a pretty standard action fare. So it's not going to, it doesn't stand out. So you got two characters that no one really, I don't think anyone cares about, today. And it's just typical action. There's tons of action movies to see over the summer. So why would I go see this? And, they're trying to play it up with Johnny Depp being, they're featuring Johnny Depp in all the trailers, but
that's all they have for this.
But he's all made up and he looks crazy.
And all they're playing in is, this is to me one of those perfect sort of movies. It's all based on marketing. It's all based off of what you remember. So, he was Captain whatever his name is in Pirates of the Caribbean. Now he's playing the same sort of role in a different movie, and he's not the lead, but he almost, he's kind of the lead, but he's not. He's in deep makeup. He's going to be the same what you remember from Pirates of the Caribbean, but now this is called The Lone Ranger. To me, this is all they're banking on is that you enjoyed him in Pirates, you'll enjoy him in this, even though you don't know shit about this. And you know what? On some levels, Pirates of the Caribbean, you may not have knew shit about that either, but because the first one was good enough and he is enjoyable and likable by the audience, spawns the franchise. The same thing possibly could happen. His star power may be strong enough to bring up this and people go. The only reason they're going is because he's in it. That's it. Like you said, that's what they're showing you. You don't know nothing about the character, but you know about who he is. So this may be successful only for the, I hate to say it, the dumbest of sheep.
Wow.
that, oh, see, Tom, Johnny Depp is in this. I'm going. Because, you know what I mean? Those sort of people that could care less anyway and just going to go because they want to see him or whatever. I can't hate on that. But, yeah, I agree with you. I'm not with it.
Think about all these other movies that came out with these characters from yesteryear. You had I'm going to say arguably the one character that had a big name star was Alec Baldwin playing the Spirit that flopped. You had Billy Zane playing, I think, the Shadow.
Yeah, but the only thing I would say, though, they did not anywhere near the star power that Johnny Depp has, though.
Well, no, right. But I'm saying, I think my point is, I agree with you, but my point is, they've tried to resurrect these older characters from like the 30s and 40s.
Right.
In the past, and all those movies flop. So why are they thinking this is going to be any different? Is it, they can't.
Well, because you got Johnny Depp. That's why.
Right, got Johnny Depp. But Johnny Depp is not going to play. I don't think. I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean is one thing because it's a ride in Disney World, kids and adults, built-in market.
If you've been to Disneyland,
Ranger, that's not a built-in market. You know what I mean?
Right, and it's not. As I said, the only built-in market they have is that it's Johnny Depp, and as you see from the trailers and the marketing, he is front and center. Even though I don't think he's the main character per se, just like he's per se not the lead character in the Pirates necessarily either. But those movies are all about him. They're not going to make those movies without him. And again, I don't know if this will work or not. I agree with you. But I'm thinking that's their only sort of reason for this movie is that you just it's the star power of Johnny Depp. That's it.
But why not put Johnny Depp in the lead as the Lone Ranger then? That's the question I have.
Because he is such a strong box office sort of dude that if he wants to play the sideline dude sort of like that, they'll let him do it. You know what I mean? That's their bread and butter. They're going to let him do whatever.
No, I understand. I guess I'm saying, unless you're saying that Johnny Depp did not want to take the lead.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He don't want to do that.
Why wouldn't he? I wonder.
I don't know. I think you look at his choices. He likes to play that. He doesn't like playing the just upfront sort of hero record. You know what I mean? Like, he likes to be up behind all the stuff and have fun with the stuff, apparently. And he likes, you can tell, he doesn't star in just regular action, like I'm going to be the lead in some popcorn movie sort of movie. He doesn't do that. I think he may have done one movie, it wasn't even a big budget, but it was that one early on where he was like a thriller, and he couldn't leave a mall or something like that. It was actually kind of out of time or something.
Like in the 90s, right?
Yeah, but he never plays just a straightaway. You know what I mean? Like, he wouldn't do, like, Mission Impossible or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, he always plays with off
character. Well, I do think Pirates of the Caribbean, he was kind of the upfront guy playing.
But behind all of this stuff, right, it was fun for him to be that sort of Joker sort of character.
Right.
Like, he would never be in a comic book movie and he would play the lead hero in the movie.
He prefers playing the oddball. He's not going to play the straight lead, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with you.
This is, you know, I will put this movie up there, too. And this is a Disney movie. This could be their, what was the one last year? Mars. The big.
Mars Needs Moms?
No, it was actually the guy's name. I'm sorry. Classic book name.
John Carter.
John Carter. This to me could be the John Carter of this year, possibly. You know, another Disney movie where they big super budget, you know, heralded, and just completely is not going to work. I think Disney needs to stop doing these sort of movies. And they got Star Wars now. You got Marvel stuff. They should just put all their money behind some real shit, not this Lone Ranger, and what's next? Spectre Gadget again or something?
Are they doing an Inspector Gadget?
No, I'm just saying, like, what's the next thing they're going to go grab and try to make it?
But Mike, that, you know what? You say you put Johnny Depp in the lead there. That's something I could see getting behind.
Yeah, but I don't want to see that kind of. You got great properties. They can stop doing the.
No, I know what you're saying.
But anyway,
Well, you know what, Mike? I hate to do this to you because although we have put in about an hour and a half, but I am going to go see 42.
Oh, okay.
So I'm probably going to have to wrap up with you.
All right. All right. Well, that's cool. So we thank you all for listening to the show today. Please leave us some comments on Facebook or the website. And any last words for us there? Juice
Go to podcastjuice.com.
Actually, .net.
All right. How you doing?
Wow. Fire. All right. We'll see y'all next time. Peace.